something we don't hear too much about, something we don't think about too much, ought to think about more, is the joy of our inheritance. We do have an inheritance. Do you know that? I'm sure we all do know that and understand it at least to some extent, maybe some more than others. And just getting started on this, I thought of a scripture, I looked it up, and it says, and if children, Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Galatians 3:26 tells that we're children of God. Just don't take that too lightly. That's a blessing in itself. I'll try to talk about that a little more today. I know, and as I just meditate and thinking on this, and by cause of the way we're made up as human beings, we more or less, I guess, want to think about, we can kind of get things present in our mind, things of the past, a little bit harder for us to get things in the future in our mind. Sometimes we have trouble, for different reasons, of getting hold of things that we have as God's people. Now, God came in the person of Jesus Christ, came to this earth, and I think we kind of focus, and nothing matter with it, rightfully so, on what he done for us, and he did. He came. He had a job to do. He came and he done a lot of things while he was here, Brother Rose. He healed the lame and caused the lame to walk and caused the blind to see and, a lot of different things. But that wasn't his reason for coming. He came to die at Calvary. He came to buy our pardon, pay our sin debt. Thank God for that. As a result of that, we're saved today. We're born again, children of God. And I think, for the most part, we get a hold of that pretty good and rejoice in that. But there is some other things that go along with that that we need to understand and rejoice in as the children of God. Just two or three places I thought about, and I'm going to kind of relate, take it over to this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, and is sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God came, Christ came, the Lord came, and he finished what he come to do. He walked on this earth for 33 and a half years. He went to a place called Calvary. And there he laid his life down and shed his precious blood for us. After that, he ascended back into heaven. Took up his rightful place. The right hand of the majesty on high. He's there today. He's making intercessions for us. So he came. Then I want to look over in connection to that, over in Acts chapter 3. I think it's chapter 3 of Acts. Let me see here where I want to read. Chapter 3 of Acts. Kind of put this in context. Y'all remember the time that Peter and John came. And the man was, let me look here. The lame man lay at the gate of the beautiful. Of course, he was looking for handouts. And Peter and John passed by, and Peter said this to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Now, silver and gold is, most of the time, we don't have much problem relating to that. But what he gave them other than silver or gold, we do have sometimes. Like I said, because of the way we're made up. I don't understand that. I just know it's the way it is. That's one thing we all have in common. But if you look on over in that same chapter, in verse 18, it says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouths of all the prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled." If you go back over in Isaiah chapter 53, you can find out where the prophets foretold of that. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities and so on. And that's the reference Peter's talking about here. Then verse 19, he says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." And notice the next phrase, "in the times of refreshing." When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." He come once, he's coming back again. "Whom the heaven must receive, he has received. Until the times of restitution of all things." I'm trying to lay a little groundwork here to show us that we have a lot in store as God's people. We need to understand that. And if we do understand it, I thought about Peter and John here, and I believe I'm right on this. You think about these two men, Brother Rose. They walked with Christ. They saw him do all the things that he'd done. They saw him crucified. They saw the resurrected Savior. All of those things they saw. But the things that I'm going to try to get us to see today is things that you don't see. They saw all those things. Yet I believe at this point here that we read about, Peter and John begins to see the real truths of the matter, so to speak. There's going to be a time of restitution. There's going to be a time when God sets everything in order. And I know sometimes we get troubled, and I know, understand that. We look around and say, "Boy, this thing's bad," and it is bad. We look around sometimes, maybe see a person that's the vilest person ever was. Seems like they're prospering. And all those things are happening. But this book that we have, that we bring with us on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and so forth, and we read and study and base our lives on and our salvation, this book tells us that one day everything will be made right, Brother Lowell. And we can have a solace in that. We can have a comfort in that, understanding that one day all things will be made right. And I thought about this. Listen. It won't be no crooked judges sitting around. What he does, you don't have to wonder if it was right. Amen. He'll be 100% correct, everything he does. So, I want to look over in Ephesians chapter 1, wasn't it? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1. Before we turn there, I want to read one more place that I think goes along with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting verse 51, says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then, keep that in mind, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, strength of sin is law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, ye labors not in vain. We're to occupy till he comes. We're to be about God's business. Amen? That's what we're trying to put forth the effort to do yesterday. As we went out to visit Brother Rose, we trying to carry on the business while we're still here. But one day he's coming back. All things are going to be brought in order. And in verse 10 of chapter 2 of Ephesians tells this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained notice, the next word, an inheritance. Inheritance in the next 4, 5, 6 verses. Well, in verse, I believe I've got it wrote down here, verse 7, verse 14, verse 18. The word inheritance comes out. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wow. I say, precious, precious scriptures to God's people. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our glory, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit. I want to kind of zero in on this. May give unto you the Spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believed according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. There it is again. So Jesus Christ came to the earth. He done what he come to do. He ascended back into heaven, and he's seated now on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's not just sitting there wondering what's going on or scratching his head or trying to figure anything out. He's there doing one thing for us. He's making intercession for us. Tells the Hebrews, for we have not an high priest which not be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm glad we have somebody to intercede for us. But notice here, on this inheritance, we have an inheritance. Now, you know, we back over when we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54, it said, then shall come to pass the saying, which is written. Well, here in verse 14, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until. As God's people, I think we have something in store for us that we kind of, for whatever reason, don't really dig into and understand like we ought to. And I think as a result of that, we miss a joy that we could have in our heart. I'm thinking about a verse of Scripture, and I think it's in Hebrews chapter 6, one of my favorite places, where it talks about having fled for refuge and laid hold on the hope set before us. And we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And I believe, as God's people, if we would, and I'm not saying everybody in here don't, maybe everybody knows more about this than I do. Maybe you've been there a long time ahead of me. I hope you have. But I just believe that this is an area in our spiritual life that we don't tap into like we ought to. And if we understand this, and I thought about this, we as God's people should have joy in our heart. Brother Rose, we ought to be happy in the Lord. And I think this is one way that we can have that. And I think this is one reason that we don't have it, because we don't take this and embrace it as God's people and understand what He's really done for us. You know, it's good to be saved. It's good to know that you've been saved. It's good to have our sins washed away. All that's good. But it don't end there. There's more to it than that. We have an inheritance as God's people. We need to understand that, and I think as we do understand that more and see what He's done for us and understand that we have a promise, and it's been signed, sealed, and delivered by the God of the universe. I don't know about you, but that does something for me, understanding that God cares enough about a nobody like me that He would take enough interest in me, amen, and you, that He would take the Holy Spirit of promise, put a seal upon it, and say, hey, you've been sealed by the blessed Holy Ghost of God. We have an inheritance. Amen, Brother Ralph. If we would understand this and embrace this in our hearts and know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we have an anchor of the soul and it's sure and it's steadfast, it'd make a lot of these other problems go away in our lives. But we do have an inheritance, which is the earnest. Let me back up. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word, born again believers, God's people, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. After you heard the word of truth of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Have you been sealed today? If you've been saved by the grace of God, you have been, whether you know it or not. Which is the earnest of your inheritance? I believe I just remember a preacher mentioned something about that Wednesday night, I think, Brother Rose, about our earnest. I think he said he looked at it as like a guarantee. Nothing matter that, I think that's right. I look at it as a down payment in the context of where we're at least. It's a down payment's been made. Who made it? Who made the down payment? until the redemption of the precious possession. Now, if you go back over to 1 Corinthians 15:51, it talks about this mortal must put on immortality, this corruptible must put on incorruption. Then shall come the passage saying which is written. See, we're not a finished product yet. As far as God's concerned, we're finished. As far as we're concerned, we're not finished. We've still got some things that's hindering us along the way, Brother Rose. We've got a fleshly body that one day won't be done away with. We're going to get rid of that. After that happens, bless God, we'll be a different people, won't we? I'm going to go back over here again just to refresh my thinking. The trumpet shall sound. Over in, I read it to us, Acts, time of restitution, time of refreshing. The trumpet shall sound. Dead in Christ shall raise. Incorruptible. We shall be changed. Gonna get rid of this old corruptible flesh that gives me such a hard time every day. Always hard to deal with, ain't it? I said it before, I say it again this morning. Biggest enemy I got, I look at him every morning when I get up and look in the mirror. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And then it says in 54, and when this corruptible, thank God it not only must put it on, but it will. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come the passage saying which is written. Thanks be to God which giveth us a victory. We have a victory. We're in a battle. But thank God the victory's already been won at Calvary. Amen. I thought about our joy. If you read over in David, in Psalm 51, I think it is, he told the Lord, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Another place he mentions is joy. And I thought about this. Two things for sure we know that can take away our joy. Our joy may not be full. Is sin in our life and being ignorant of the things that God has done for us. That's what he's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice what he says. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, of revelation, and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. God don't want us to be ignorant of what he's done for us. He wants us to understand what he's done for us. You know, the Bible talks about the people being willingly ignorant. I don't know where you can make an application to God's people of that or not, but there is a lot of God's people that is ignorant of a lot of things in the Scripture. But I'm going to tell you something. God give us everything we need that we don't have to be. We don't have to be. The reason, I guess, that we are, well, not just one, I guess a lot of them. Number one, it takes time. It takes discipline. It takes effort. If you think about any of those things, and there's others, all of them go against the grain of our nature. Especially when it comes to spiritual things. We can always find time to do other things. I said, we. I can too. Seems like it's so easy to find time to do the things that appeal to the flesh. Easy. I can find time to do about anything I want to till it comes to this. When it comes to that, I start making excuses. The devil will help us out along with that. He'll help you with it. He sure will. That the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have an inheritance. We're joint heirs with Christ. In order to be in on the will and in the inheritance, you've got to be a child. We are. We're children of God. We're heirs and joint heirs. But I think we need to lay hold on the spiritual truths. I thought about Peter and John again. How that they walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him do all the things. They saw him do all the things. They saw and they heard. Like I said, we don't have too much trouble with that. It's when you've got to reach out there by faith and take it by faith and believe God. That's where we start having the problem. But I believe if we would understand what God's really given us as his people, the inheritance that we have, Brother Rose, along the way, and all these things accumulated together as a child of God, we could have so much more joy in our journey. Are you missing some of this stuff? Do you understand the the imminent truths that God has for us in his precious word as God's children? Yeah, we can be saved. We can know we're going to heaven. We can come to church every time the door's open. And these things don't make us one bit more saved, Brother Rose, than we are right now. It won't make you no more saved. But I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll give you a great joy in your heart. It'll make you where you, when you lay down tonight, before you go to sleep, just have a smile on your face. It'll make you when you sit down and you maybe had a hard day of work or whatever, Brother Lowell, you sit down and you just start to meditate on the Lord. And you think about just how saved you really are. Think about what all the Lord went through to get us where we're at. Think about where we're going to. Think about one day we're going to lay off this old immortality, this old corruption. We won't have that battle no more. Think about being our soul being anchored over behind the veil with a sure anchor, sure and steadfast. We're living in perilous times, shaky times, insecure times, times when, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next. And we can all get caught up in those things. Because that's the way we're made. We're still fleshly. And we can be, if we're not careful, we can be drawn away from a real truth that we have in Christ. And it affects us. It affects our life. It affects our family. It affects everything that we come in contact with. It hurts us. It hurts our testimony, Brother Ralph. It hurts our witness. I'm just talking about being... I just thought about this. You know, it used to be, and I guess they still are, some of these people, you know, they'd have a church and they call it the full gospel. As so to say that only they have the full revelation. Well, we can be children of God that has the full understanding. And I'm going to tell you something. If you get that, you won't be like those people who had the full gospel. It won't put you on a higher plane. It'll put you on a lower plane. See, that's contrary. Goes against the grain. What people teach today. The more you get of this, the more humility you'll have. The more you understand that, the lower plane you'll be on. You believe that? It is right where you believe it or not. I just thought about all the things. And I started to say little things, but it's not little things. They're big things that we have in Christ that we never tap into, that we never look at. And as a result of that, don't really understand. Well, I tell you, we have a lot more than a place to go in heaven. Again, I'm going back to Peter and John because I thought about this so much when I was studying this. And how we're so much like them. You can go back and read, and especially Peter. I believe old Peter was just an old southern redneck, hard-headed, kind of like myself. And no doubt, I don't think anybody would question his love for the Lord. But he misunderstood so many things. I'm thinking, man, there he was with the God of creation. Walked with him. Saw everything he done. Yet he so misunderstood a lot of things. And how we are. Larry, sometimes I think we just have to get so much older to start getting a hold of these things. I want to know more, don't you? I want to know more about these things. And we can know more. As I said, God's given us every tool we need. He's given us this book. But it takes effort. It takes prayer. And it takes the Holy Ghost of God. No wonder Romans 12:1, Apostle Paul, said this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, rather by the renewing of your mind. Your mind. Then the writer of Hebrews 12:1 said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Then he goes on, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If we would study this and really get a hold of it, it would really help us. You might say, Brother John, I understand all that, and I've got a hold of it. Thank God. But I will tell you this. I don't care how far you've gone, how deep you've gone. There's more there. You won't exhaust it. Just keep digging. Keep looking. Keep praying. I think we can have joy, more joy than what we have. I think we can face the adversities of life, the times that we live in. And you know, Paul, he wrote to the young preacher Timothy, and he said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers. I know all that. We're there. But I'm telling you, in the midst of it all, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a question, I guess, do we desire that? Do we want that? Well, the more you get, the more you want. So it works. Amen. The more you get, the more you want.